Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I would like to wish one and all also a very blessed New Year. Be still is what the psalmist encouraged us to do. In a world that is full of uncertainties, it is very difficult for us to be still. In the past, when news come to us at a very slow pace, what we face more often than not is found in our newspaper and in what we experience in our own lives. But now, with the invention of modern communication, what happens halfway around the world is what happens right next to us. Because of the internet, because of live television, the world is indeed a global village. And because of that, all the calamities around the world are now made known to us within a very short span of time. And therefore, more often than not, we carry with us all the cares and the uncertainties of the world. Your job, how secure is your job? How secure is your health? We try our best to eat properly, to exercise regularly, to see the doctor and have our regular annual medical checkup. We try our best, and yet at times, bad news come our way, in inverted commas, bad news. You have been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So what are you going to do? The doctor says you may have only a few more months to live, and the shock will cause you to act or react in a manner that is not very Christian. You panic. You become very fearful. My children are still young. My life is ahead of me. All my plans, all my ambitions are now gone overnight, instantaneously. How to be still in a world that is so, so wicked, evil, and uncertain? Can we trust the words of man? Well, our government tells us that next year the economy may grow between 4 to 6%, not like this year. This year's growth is in double digit. So unusual, and they realize it is based upon some extraordinary circumstances, probably never to be seen or repeated again. Do you put much confidence in the words of our leaders? Can we trust the words of economists who will give all sorts of projection? What is it that gives you peace in your heart, whereby you can be still, as what the psalmist says? He doesn't just simply tell us, he says, he commands us to be still. To be still means literally to be quiet, to let go of all your cares and your burdens, to have peace in your heart that even though the whole world may turn upside down, no matter how the walls may rage all around you, the quietness that you have in your soul belongs only to every Christian. If you are not a Christian, this is something that you can never have. It is not pretending that the world does not exist, the problems do not exist. It is not living in a world of make-believe, a virtual realization surrounded by laughter, mirth, and joy, where we have only comedians to entertain us, and therefore now I think this world is safe and I have peace because my health is good, my wealth is good, my friends are kind, my children are doing well in their studies, my relationship with my wife, my husband is well, so everything is good, so maybe I can be still. You look at this psalm, you realize that none of these things are mentioned in this psalm. In fact, this psalm describes catastrophes after catastrophes of a magnitude that is beyond our control. And yet, in the midst of this turmoil, the psalmist tells us, you be still, Christian, be still. Why? Well, verse 1 gives us the main thrust. God is our refuge, that's why. He did not use the word the Lord. The word, actually, the name the Lord only appears in verse 7. He purposely used the name Elohim to tell us to think of your God as a powerful God. He is your refuge. Now, this word refuge refers to some form of shelter, a place of trust and security. That's the meaning of the word refuge, different from the word refuge in verse 7 as well as in verse 11. The refuge used in verse 7 and verse 11 is a little different, where the name of God is also a little different. In this case, God of Jacob is not used. It just simply mentioned God in general. He is a powerful God. And so the focus is not so much on a covenantal relationship that is mentioned at the beginning of this psalm. The psalmist deliberately focused our heart and our minds on God Almighty. There is a God who is powerful, and he says he is our shelter, our place of trust. Not on this earth. Not from anything that is of this earth. Can you find this shelter, this trust, only in God? The question is, do you know this God? Is this God with you? Because this God is also a God who is powerful. He is our strength, the psalmist says. And he knows when to help us, at what time to help us, so that you and I will not miss the truth when help comes, that it is God alone who has helped us and not we ourselves. That's what the psalmist says, a very present help in trouble. At the right time, when you need help the most, when you know that it is no one else but God alone who has delivered you. It's not just help at any time. Sometimes we want help to be as early as possible so that our trials, our persecution, our pain and our sorrows may stop immediately. God says, no, it must be according to my time, not yours. If it is up to us, we will not even want the pain, isn't it? God says, no, it must be according to my time. My time, it will be the best. I will make sure that it will not overwhelm you, whereby you will be crushed under the load. But it will be just on time, whereby you know that it is God alone who has helped you. And sometimes, because our faith is so weak, we are not very sensitive to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, so much so that even when God is helping us, we don't give all the glory to God. We like to take a little bit of the glory from God. And when our faith is weak, God has to make sure that we cannot miss it. Like in the time of Gideon, when Gideon had to fight against the enemies of Israel, the Midianites. He gathered all the people. He started with 32,000. And then God asked him to remove 10,000, those who do not feel like fighting, let them go home. 10,000 left only 22,000. God says, still too many. Because if they had fought against the enemies, which were in the sixth figure, it would still be an overwhelming odds. But because the faith of Israel and Gideon was so weak, that with that kind of ratio of 22,000 to more than 100,000, that ratio would still not be good enough for Gideon to see that it is God who has delivered, and that number had to be reduced to how many? 300. A ratio of 300 to more than 100,000. Then only Gideon was able to see that it is God alone who has delivered Israel from the hand of the Midianites. What about us? Are we any different? God says it will come, but it must be on my time. Table, not yours. You must be patient, you must endure to the very end. And I will make sure that you come out victorious. Because I am your refuge, I am your place of trust. Not man, not your books, not your experience, not your degrees in whatever universities you have obtained. How many degrees you have. The name card may not be big enough to hold all your degrees. You may need a size, perhaps like A4 size. You know A4 size? You put in all your qualifications. And some of us take pride in the fact that I have gone to university, I have a master's degree, I have a PhD degree, I have multiple PhD degrees, and therefore that's my confidence. God says, no, you cannot learn to be still if your confidence is in your paper qualifications. Not also in your experience. All these things will collapse. You think by just sheer hard work and diligence in your workplace, all would be well? There are forces beyond your company's control. You and I must have seen enough these past few years to know that no matter how big a company is, no matter how secure a bank is, no matter how much money they might have in their so-called securities as their foundation for their existence for even 100 years, they can just simply collapse overnight. You look at the empires and kingdoms of the past. They are far greater and more powerful than any multinational corporation today. They all have gone. They had their day in the sun, but they have collapsed. You look at the might and the power of the Babylonian Empire in Nebuchadnezzar's time. The generation who lived in the days of Nebuchadnezzar thought that the Babylonian Empire will exist forever because there is no superpower stronger and greater than the Babylonian Empire. But where was it now? Where is it now? It's gone. Likewise, the Medes and the Persians, the Grecians, the Romans, and now you have the American superpower. You think it's going to last forever? Never. No power on earth can be your refuge, can be your security. Only God. He must be your strength. He must be the one who energizes you, who must help you through your day-to-day activities. Nobody else must you lean on, but Him alone. Your place of trust and your strength. Anything else, you cannot be still. How secure will my trust be if I put my trust in God? Well, verse 2 and verse 3 describe the global catastrophe. So even in the face of global catastrophes, God will still be your refuge and your strength, the psalmist cries. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. If this globe suddenly explode and disappear, and it has the appearance of eternity, isn't it, this earth of ours? It seems to have existed for so long, it has the appearance of age, and that age, as far as these evolutionists are concerned, is in the billions of years. It has this notion, this appearance of age. That's what God did when God first created the heavens and the earth. Everything that God created in the first 6 days had the appearance of age, including man. You ask Adam on the day itself, how old are you, Adam? He can't tell you that he's 21. He's definitely a grown man. But he was only one day old. He had the appearance of age. The whole world had the appearance of age. So this world of ours appears so eternal, so safe, so unchanging. Because generations of men come, generations of men have gone. Mighty powers have come, mighty empires have gone. And yet this earth remains. And the psalmist says, even though this earth is removed, I will not be afraid. Can you say that? Can you really say that? Because we don't talk about the earth. Let's say if your company is gone, you and I panic already, isn't it? You've been working there for 40 years and then suddenly the boss tells you, we failed. Our company is bankrupt. What am I going to do for the next 10 years of my life before my retirement? I thought this is where I'm going to retire with a nice little nest egg from my company after all these 4 decades of loyal service. Nothing. Even if they want to pay you, they can't. They are bankrupt. And now you're too old to work, too young to retire. What are you going to do? Become very fearful and frightened, isn't it? Who's going to look after my children? Who's going to feed my family? My home, I have not even finished paying all my mortgage. I have bought this and that, my cars on higher purchase. Now what am I going to do? How am I going to pay for so many things? My whole life has to be changed. What about my lifestyle, you may cry. Everything has to be turned upside down, and so you begin to panic. The psalmist says, even the whole earth, that means every nation, disappears from the face of this earth, I'm not afraid. Because God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my present help in trouble. What about the mountains? Be carried into the midst of the sea. Suddenly it was there and now it's disappeared. Like volcanic mountains, islands that simply disappeared, just simply sunk into the ocean and never to be seen again. The mountains so huge, so strong, so safe, so secure, What happens if they are destroyed? They disappear. Will you panic? Are you afraid? The waters thereof roar and be troubled. Earthquake, flood, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. Earthquakes and floods. Mountains disappear. The whole earth disappears. Because we put our trust on the things of this earth. That's our problem. But the psalmist cried, said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You have God. Do you have God? To whom do you trust? It's seen by how you and I react. In the face of calamities, in the face of global catastrophes, when this whole world disappears, tsunamis, floods, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tornadoes, all sorts of all these global catastrophes come and hit this world. How do you feel? How do you react and respond to all these calamities? We thank God Singapore is placed in a very, very safe part of the globe. By the grace and the mercies of God, the Lord has blessed us. We are spared from all sorts of global catastrophes. Maybe the earthquake in some parts of Indonesia may cause us to feel a little bit of tremor. That's it. No building has collapsed because of earthquake. Oh, we have buildings collapsed because of man's failure, but not earthquake. We have never experienced any kind of a tsunami or terrible flood. Maybe just a little bit where some cars are damaged, some buildings are damaged. That's about it. Little scratches here and there. And you look at how we have reacted. For some of us who are not affected, it's just like a show, isn't it? A movie. But for some of us who are affected, we mourn, we cry, especially if the insurance company will not honor, in inverted commas, our claims. And then you cry because you lost a few dollars. That's it. You mourn and you cry because you have lost some money. So easily are we moved. And that reveals the kind of foundation that we have built upon for our lives, for our existence. So earthbound. The psalmist says, even when all these global catastrophes hit us, will you remain still in your heart? Will you know in your heart of hearts that your God is in sovereign control? That nothing can hurt His children without His permission. That even if this whole world is destroyed, you are safe and you are secure. Because your trust is in God and nobody else. Not your parents, not your experience, not your brain, not your loved ones. Nobody else but God alone. That's the only way you can be still in all the circumstances that the world can throw at you. Only way, in God alone. Any replacement would be a poor one. Because God is more powerful than any earthquake. He controls global catastrophes. Nothing can come without His permission. Not one single raindrop can fall without His permission. That's our God. That's the God of the Bible. And so the psalmist says, Selah, you ponder and you think through what the psalmist had just written. Will you panic if news come again that the economy of the world is now on thin ice? It is about to collapse. Europe is about to be bankrupt. So is America. How would you feel? Your jobs overnight become so uncertain. Everything may just simply go sky high and you can't even afford to buy a bowl of rice because of inflation, super inflation. There will come a point in time where that will be the case, you know that. The Bible has already prophesied in the book of Revelation. If you think that your foundation is in your bank account and in your stocks and shares, and that gives you security and future whereby you can maintain your present lifestyle because of what some people have told you, and you put more faith and trust in the words of this man than in the word of God, then we are foolish. We are foolish. You do not have peace in your heart because of the promises of man, because of the guarantees of man. Man is weak. Man is helpless to do so many things in this world. They can't control anything. And yet you and I put more faith in the words of men. Financial advisors, they are called. And so they give us financial advice. And so we follow the advice, and that somehow gives us the peace. You buy insurance of the insurance, and that gives you the safety and the security. Then you and I are foolish. We have God here as our refuge and our strength, and we don't want Him and replace Him with what? The words of men and the promises of men and the actions of men. They say that when you die, your children will get so much money. You trust them and you don't trust your God, and you replace your God with these kind of promises to give security to your own soul and your own heart and to that of your children as well. You want to pass that on as your legacy to them. You don't pass to them a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ where you teach them the word of God. You pass them that kind of security where you have just taught them God is good, but the psalmist says, no, only God is His refuge and strength, nobody else. Verse 4 to verse 7 describe the earthly uncertainties that we face. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, describing, of course, Jerusalem, where they will always have water. Because if you are a city high up on the mountain, it is so easy to surround you, cut off all the people who go in and come out. And then very soon you're going to die of famine or drought. That's why when you have a river, the streams, plural, that make glad the city, you will always have a supply of water that will never run dry. That kind of city is the picture that God described for you and for me. For the people in the Old Testament, it would be the city of God that would be Jerusalem, the holy place where the tabernacle of the Most High is located, which represents the home of God on earth, the temple of Solomon. The tabernacle in the days before Solomon's temple, it represents the home of God, and God says, I put my home in the midst of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. That's where it is. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. At the right time, God will help her. She will not be moved. As long as God says, Jerusalem will remain, Jerusalem will forever remain, because God's temple is there. The heathen will rage. The whole world around Jerusalem, around Israel, will be in great turmoil. The kingdoms, plural, were moved. But my city will not be moved. You see the contrast? They shall not be moved. God will make sure of that. They cannot touch God's people, God's nation, without His permission. They will not be moved. But the whole earth, the kingdoms, will be moved. He uttered His voice and the earth can just simply melt and disappear. All the nations can just simply disappear at God's command. That's how powerful our God is. That's our Creator. That's our Lord. And that's exactly when the psalmist used the word the Lord Jehovah, reminding Israel that this God who is our trust, our strength, is our Heavenly Father. He is not just the God of the Christian. Please understand this. He is the God of the whole universe and the whole earth. He is our personal God. But He not only controls your life, but He controls every person, every nation, every blade of grass, every wind, every raindrop. He controls everything. And that's why to replace Him with something else or someone else as our security in this life, we are foolish. He can never be replaced. And He says, I am your God. I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am your help. And He will come. Are you not God's people? Are you not God's children? What kind of heavenly Father would we have if He doesn't take care of His children? What do you call a parent who does not look after his children on earth? Is he not called a derelict parent? He doesn't feed his children. He doesn't care for his children. He doesn't clothe his children. He just let them run wild and he doesn't care whether they are walking right or walking wrongly. He doesn't care. What do you call that kind of father and mother? Hopeless, useless, derelict failures, right? You and I won't do that. And if you and I, as sinners, do not want to do that to our own children because we love them, how much more our Heavenly Father? Remember, He loved us when we were His enemies. Because when He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to die for us, we were not His children. We were His enemies. Now, how much more do you think He would care for us and love us now that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God? The kingdoms can be moved, but not my children. I will protect them, I will care for them, I will love them. You go to work daily knowing your Heavenly Father is your master, your Lord, your boss. He is the one who has given you your job. He is the one who has sustained you throughout your working life. Not your boss, not the nation, not the world. Your Heavenly Father. Don't forget that. That means you will be in your place of work by God's sovereign will. No one can take you out of your place of work if your Heavenly Father did not give anyone any permission. Do you know that? That's the sovereignty of God. Please don't be so easily moved by news of economic crisis. Do you think God cannot feed His children in famine time? Have we not read and studied enough of the Bible to know that God has fed His servants even in times of drought and famine? Have we only head knowledge but no heart knowledge? God says, you trust me. Your future, your present, your past, all in my loving hand. You didn't even know of my existence, but I already know of yours. Did He not tell us that He knew us even before we were born? Our salvation was planned by God even before the foundation of the world. That means your existence was known to Him even before the foundation of the world. That's how much He cares for you. That's why for us not to trust Him and learn to be still, and to let go of all our cares and our burdens and our trials. We are foolish. Why do you want to hold on to these cares and burdens? Then God says, be still. Relax. Let go of them. I am your trust. Not your abilities, not your own hands, not your own quick mouth, not your sweet words. I am your refuge and I am your strength. And He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's the key, with us. Verse 7 and verse 11, exactly the same. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why did God use of Jacob? Why didn't He say the God of Israel? Jacob was the old name, isn't it? It means usurper. Israel means prince of God. But the psalmist knew exactly what he was writing because he was inspired by God. God purposely wants to transfer all our thinking to the time when He confronted Jacob. Jacob was a usurper. Jacob did not want to believe in God. He gave God conditions. You will be my God if you bring me back home. Because he had to be in exile for what he had done by cheating his older brother of his birthright. The older brother wanted to kill him. So he had to flee. He had to run and hide. And God met up with him in a place called Bethel, house of God. And he gave God a condition, you will be my God when I come back safe, with plenty, with my health. And I can make peace with my older brother, then you will be my God. And he wrestled with God. God wrestled with him throughout the whole night until God crippled him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And so God deliberately called himself at this juncture, God of Jacob. Even before Israel became Israel, I was already their God. Even before they knew of me, I was already their God. I was in control of every moment of Jacob's existence, Jacob the man. How much more Israel? How much more all of you? The Lord of hosts, the covenantal God, and the power of God are wrapped in one in this verse 7 and verse 11. On purpose. So it is not just the God of this whole world. It's not just any God. It is the Lord himself who is the identity of the God who is now our refuge and our strength. And the word refuge used in verse 7, the God of Jacob is our refuge. This refuge describes a cliff, a loft that is so high up that it is unreachable. In other words, every calamity, every enemy of the Christians, of God, they can't touch you. The first refuge in verse 1 describes just simply a shelter, a place of safety. But this word describes a cliff or a loft that is so high up they can't even touch you. That you are beyond their reach. God will put us in a place that we are beyond their reach. But then you may argue and say, then how come they face persecution? How come they get thrown into the lion's den? How come they get themselves crucified, stoned, imprisoned? How come? Think in terms of eternity. Don't think in terms of what we have to go through on this earth. Can Satan rob you of your salvation in Christ Jesus? Are we not saved in the hand of our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that neither death nor life nor anything can take us away from the love of God through Christ Jesus? Is that not true? Is that not God putting us high up on a cliff that not even death, disease, not even Satan can touch our relationship with God for all eternity? What we endure on this earth, these are all part and parcel of what it means when the Bible tells us not only are you called to believe in me, Jesus says, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Please do not misunderstand what this word refuge means. It doesn't mean that you become Superman and untouchable. People shoot at you, the bullet just boom, drop off. It doesn't mean that kind. See, don't define refuge from our perspective. Understand it from God's perspective. God thinks in terms of eternity. And so what you have to suffer and endure, these are all part and parcel of what it means to suffer for Christ. It is our privilege when God counts us worthy to suffer for Christ because of the faith. As part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. You and I cannot run away from that. It is the whole package. This is in terms of eternity. Nobody can touch your relationship that you have with God because it has been sealed by the blood of our Savior. Verse 2 and 3, global catastrophe. Verse 4 to verse 7, earthly uncertainties. Verse 8 and verse 9, man's wrath. Man's wrath. Come, behold, look. Look at the works of the Lord, that's your God. What desolations he had made in the earth. What horror, what power he had demonstrated on the earth. What kind of power? Well, verse 9 explains. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. When he allowed wars to come, he is the one who controls. When war stops, when war is allowed to start. He is in sovereign control. You think the global world wars that we have experienced the past century is not known by God, is beyond God's control? Never! He was in control of every minute of it. He is not guilty for what happened, for what man did, but he is in sovereign control. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. These are all the weapons that symbolize power in the olden days. Bows, long range weapons, spears, close range weapons, chariots like tanks. God says, I can just easily destroy all of them. Easily. You think the atomic bombs and atomic weapons that these superpowers have can be compared with the power of God? They can't even be compared with the power of the sun. Right? It is said that when the sun have this sunburst, right? Sunburst, I don't know how many times the sun will burst. It is more than all the atomic weapons that we have on earth combined. And who made the sun? Your heavenly Father. He made the sun. This earth without the sun will die. Your heavenly Father made the sun. What is the wrath of man compared to God? So don't be afraid. Are you worried about the outcome of the result of the Far Eastern Bible College? I think many of us are, because we love the college. We don't want the college to go. We want the college to remain. Is the college the most important thing? Or is it the Word of God? Far Eastern Bible College will be forgotten like all the colleges and seminaries in the world. Don't just pray for the survival of the Bible College. Pray for faithfulness. For the real battle is not the preservation of the Far Eastern Bible College, but God's Word. That is where the real battle lies. The vindication of the truth of the Word of God and the name of our Savior. That's what we are fighting for. Not just the name of FEBC. If one day, God forbid, if one day the Far Eastern Bible College becomes liberal and modernist, and please don't think that it can never happen. You still want to defend the college out of sentiment? Never. When that college turns and becomes modernist, don't defend it. It has failed the Lord. It has ceased to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your loyalty to any person, any institution, any college, any church is always based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If this church remains faithful to Christ, you'll be faithful to this church. But the moment this church ceases to be faithful to Christ, because somehow, for whatever reason, the enemy has put in place leaders, pastors and elders and deacons who are derelict in their duties, no more God-honoring, don't you ever, ever defend them and protect them blindly. Your loyalty first and last must always be the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as they are loyal to Christ, you are loyal to them. Why? Because you are also loyal to Christ through them. That's always the basis. The wrath of man, earthly uncertainties, global catastrophes, all these things can shake the world, but they must never shake the Christian. Why? Because be still and know that I am God. Do you know that He is God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and always in control? I will be exalted among the heathen, God says, and I will be exalted in the earth. So amongst all the men, God says, I will be exalted. I know what I'm doing, in other words. Trust in me. The outcome of Far Eastern Bible College is already known to God even before the founding of the college. You think God is not aware of all that has been happening these past few years? We don't. We have to live through it day by day, month by month, year by year, defending the Word of God. But our Heavenly Father knows. He never slumbers, He never sleeps, He doesn't grow tired, He doesn't grow weak. He knows exactly what He's doing. That's the meaning of the phrase, that I am God. You be still, you know that I am God. And I will be exalted. I will make sure I will be exalted, not only among the heathens, but in the whole earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's the key. You and I must answer this question. Is He with us? Is He with True Life BP Church? Is He with FEBC? Is FEBC doing what is right by defending the Word of God as perfect? Because that's exactly what the battle is. Is the Word of God perfect? Is this a biblical and just cause? If it is, then the Lord is with us. And if the Lord is with us, nobody can be against us. Not the wrath of man, not the earthly uncertainties, and definitely not even global catastrophes, not even when this earth is destroyed. Your faith, and my trust, your trust in God, is not dependent upon the circumstances of life. It depends entirely upon God's attributes, God's promises, God Himself. And only Christians who have their sins forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can have this honor and this privilege, whereby God says to all His children, be still and know that I am God. Not just I am God, but I am your God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we do not know what lies ahead, O Lord, in the year 2011, for many things are beyond our comprehension, for we are people who are bound by space and time. We live only in the present. Help us therefore, O Lord, to know what it means to be still and to know that Thou art God, for the past, for the present, and the future are all known to Thee, all at the same time, for You are immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not lose knowledge, You do not gain knowledge, You do not lose power, You do not gain power, for Thou art the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God Most High. And Thou hast given us the honor and privilege to cry to Thee and to call Thee, Abba, Father. We come humbly before Thee, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, acknowledging that we are weak and we are unable to be still. O Lord, so easy are we moved by global catastrophes and earthly uncertainties and the wrath of men. We pray, O Lord, that You will strengthen our faith, for Thou art our refuge, our strength, our trust, for Thou art with us, and Thou art our present help in time of need. May we learn to trust You and to be still and to know in our heart of hearts that Thou art our God and Thou art in control of all the events of the children of the Most High God, for nothing can happen to us without Your knowledge and without Your permission. May we learn daily to trust in You. Bless us, O Lord, throughout the year 2011, that we may learn not only today, but for the rest of this year and into eternity, learning to be still and to know that Thou art God, for Thou art with us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.